As always, I like to begin any time I'm up here by saying how thankful and how grateful I am for this opportunity that I've been given to share a portion of God's Word with you. Hopefully what I've brought forward will be able to help you as it's able to help me. It will be beneficial to you. Hopefully it'll open your eyes maybe, or maybe I'll just be reminding you of the things that we already know. But that's always a good thing too. The verse that I've been given to study this afternoon was Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6. And it says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. And this is the theme phrase right here, what can man do to me? So this quote comes from a psalm written by David in Psalms chapter 118, verses 6. And we'll read verses 6 through 14. And it says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surround me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And like unto it is Psalms chapter 56, we'll read verses 1 through 4, it says, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long. An attacker oppresses me all day long. My enemies trample on me, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? David wrote so many psalms of praise and of faith of God's power because he understood the fear of the Lord. How can we not read these and feel the same way? How can we not read these and be encouraged and strengthened to be of the same mindset? A man after God's own heart, that's what David was called. And that's what we should strive to be. David had faith through the trials. He had faith in God and in his power. And we have so many examples of people in the Bible who, despite their awful situations, they held fast in their faith. I have a list here, and not all of these are explicitly from the Bible, but they are from other works of literature that date far enough back to be feasible historical events. And just a few is Andrew was crucified, John the Baptist beheaded, Stephen was stoned to death, James was slain with the sword. The Apostle Philip was stoned to death. Apostle Peter crucified. The Apostle Paul beheaded. Silas was scourged. Bartholomew tortured and beheaded. Thomas tortured and burned in a furnace. Matthew beheaded. Matthias stoned and beheaded. Apostle John banished. And Timothy was stoned to death. Awful, terrible things that were done to these apostles and these great men of the Bible. But they did not stagger in their faith because they had the fear of the Lord. We also know that there were countless terrible things done to the brothers and sisters of the early church when the Apostle Paul was, formerly known as Saul, persecuting them. And it says that he reviled them and he drugged them out of their houses and he took them to prison. And we can speculate safely that he was probably not very friendly on the long road trips that they had, him and those who were with him. I'm sure they probably beat and killed many of those that they took because they had no care for their lives and they had only hate. Despite this, they stood fast in their fear of the Lord. We also know that Paul himself lived a very rough life filled with toil. We can read of this in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 32. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I am more. I have been in labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prison more, in deaths many times. 5 times from the Jews I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the deep. I have been in travels often, in dangers from waters, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from my race, in dangers from the heathen, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers on the sea, in dangers among false brothers. I have been in hardship and toil, often in watchings, in hunger and thirst, often in fastings, in cold and nakedness. Besides things outside conspiring against me daily, the care of all the churches. Notice he sets this apart from the rest because he puts that as a priority. All these terrible things have happened to him, but he still worries about his brothers and sisters in Christ. If we continue reading, it says, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is, or it's a question, am I not weak? Who is caused to stumble and I don't burn? If it is right to boast, I will boast of the things of my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I don't lie. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king guarded the city of Damascenes, desiring to lay hold of me, another thing that he had to suffer. And then if we skip down to chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "For if I desire to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I will speak the truth. But I spare, lest anyone should think of me as being beyond what he sees of me or hears of me." I want to focus on that little bit right there that said, "For I will speak the truth," because this is why Paul suffered all these things, and this is why so many of our brothers and sisters in the early church and so many of our brothers and sisters today throughout the world suffer as they do, because we're commanded to speak the truth and to spread the gospel, because our fear of the Lord should take precedence over our fear of anything else. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 22. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." This is Jesus speaking. "So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved." Another reason that we have the fear of the Lord and that we are able to endure strife in our lives is because we have something to look forward to. People in the world don't understand that because they don't have something to look forward to. They don't understand the love of God. They don't understand that heaven is waiting for us. And they can't look forward to anything but death. And so they fear that. They don't want to die. And it's a natural fear to not want to die, to not be in pain. But we have an eternity of life, of joy, an eternity in heaven with our Lord. If we skip down in Matthew 10 to verses 26 through 33, it says, "So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. For fear not, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." We see Jesus instructed the apostles to be wary of evil men, and this includes family. You know, it said brother will turn against brother, parent against child, child against parent unto death. And that's something that we can't really understand because we've never dealt with true persecution in this free country. We have everything we need. And more. I have way more than I need. I'm not saying that I'm rich. I'm not saying that I'm in an abundance of things. But compared to my necessities, compared to the rest of the world, I am. But more importantly, I'm rich in faith, and I'll be rich in spiritual things when this life ends. And that's something that we have to look forward to. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account." John 15, 18 through 21, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But you're not of the world. But I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." Persecution in any form is part of being a Christian. It's something that we have to be prepared for our entire lives. Again, we don't deal with it like in other countries, but there's always those people that will make fun of us. There's those people that will revile us and hate us for the way that we live our lives. Maybe it's because we work as if we're working for the Lord, and that puts them down. Maybe it's because we don't speak like they do. We don't go out and party and drink and do things that we're not supposed to do, and they think that we see ourselves as better than them, but we don't. We know that we have our troubles. We know that we have our struggles, and we know that what we do is not for ourselves, but it's for God. But they don't know that, but we know that. I want to read something from a website that I found called Open Doors. And it says, by the time you go to bed tonight, 15 Christians will die today for their faith in Jesus, and 10 will be abducted. These numbers and others paint a disturbing picture. In more than 70 countries, every day, Christians are killed, imprisoned, abducted, sexually assaulted, forced into marriage, or forced to leave their homes and even their countries simply because they have chosen to follow Jesus. In recent years, violence against Christians has reached an all-time high. Research for this website, 2023 World Watch List, reveals 5,621 recorded cases of Christians killed for their faith. And the actual number is actually much higher because it's extremely difficult to estimate the true number of Christians killed for their faith. Data remains hard to come by despite Open Doors' extensive on-the-ground networks because no one is reporting when Somalian families kill one another and kill one of their own, or when Christians die of starvation or beatings in North Korean labor camps. More than 5,621 people died because they believe in Jesus Christ. And so many more were tortured or hurt, imprisoned. It happens every day. And we don't suffer through that, but we know it's going on, and that's why we have works in other countries. That's why we spread the gospel, because we want to reach people, and we want them to know the gospel, so that they will have the fear of the Lord, so that they will be saved, so that they are not dying for nothing. I don't know how many of these people are true Christians, and I think it's safe to assume that a lot of them aren't, and a lot of them died, and they're not in heaven, and that's a sad thought, because despite what they suffered, they don't get an eternal home in heaven. But we can still look forward to that if we're in their same situation. We have to be prepared to be in that same situation. It may not be in our lifetime. It may not be in our children's or your children's or their grandchildren's, or we don't know. But we need to be prepared for that. Psalms chapter 27, verses 1 through 14 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." So I'll ask again, whom shall I fear? That's the question. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Luke 1 and 50, "And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation." 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." 1 Peter 2:17, "Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." And Philippians 2, 12 through 15, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but as much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." This is why Christians suffer as they do throughout history and through what we can assume through the future, is because we're lights in the world, and Satan doesn't like light. He likes the darkness. evil men don't like light, they like the darkness. And so they strive to bring that darkness and they put out all the lights that they can. But it's our job in this world to show the light of God, which overcomes all shadow. This is the goal. We're commanded by Jesus to go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's the Great Commission found in Matthew. I have a couple of verses here about the power of God, why we fear God, found in Revelation. Chapter 14, verses 6 and 7 says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" And then in chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, "And from the throne came a voice saying, 'Praise our God, all you his servants who fear him, small and great.' Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God Almighty reigns.'" I don't have the reading here in my lesson, but we can also think back to the Old Testament whenever it was, I'll probably get this mixed up, but it was either the prophet Elijah or Elisha. God opened his eyes to the angel army that was before him, and the glory that he was beholding was so magnificent. And to think of that magnificence, to think of that power, I can't even fathom. But one day I hope in my eternal home that I'll be able to see that I'll be able to see the face of God, and that I will live with him and with all of y'all together in glory. So this is where we finally answer our first question, found in our theme verse: what can man do to me? And we find the answer. I know this is a lot of verses, and I just ask that you bear with me. But we find the answer in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." We're going to pause right there, and I want to talk about that for a second. Jesus intercedes for the saints. He intercedes for us to the Father. That's another reason that we can have the fear of the Lord and we can have the hope that we can be saved, as long as we're obedient to the will of God. And if we continue on in 35, verse 35, it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, height or depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So I'll ask once again, what can man do to us? And the answer is nothing, because we have God on our side. And it doesn't matter who's against us, it doesn't matter what's against us, it doesn't matter what's done to us, as long as we have God the Father in our corner fighting for us and Jesus interceding for us, we can withstand anything. It doesn't matter if it's painful, it doesn't matter if it's sorrowful, if we lose friends and loved ones, God is in our corner. And that alone should be our hope, or I should say that alone should give us hope that can last until we leave this world. There's a song that we sing that's based off of our reading in Romans 8. And I want to just read through some of the lyrics. I know most of y'all will probably recognize it. And unfortunately, it's not in the books. Otherwise, I would have asked for it to be sung. But the lyrics read, "You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory, and nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. the God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Whom shall I fear? We have God in our corner. And another thing that we have is each other. And I stand firm in the fact knowing that most of y'all, if not all of y'all, are going to be in my corner with me, and I'll be in yours, because we work together. I had the pleasure of being over at Valley Parkway and listening to Brother Michael Fancher give a wonderful lesson this morning on spiritual habits, and one of the things that he brought up was learning about each other, revealing ourselves to each other, and investing our time with each other. And the point of all that is to grow together so that we can fight as one body and not as separate people, so that we can fight together. I don't have the verse in here, but we read in the Bible, it says that a strand of three cords is not easily broken. And that's because whenever we bond together, whenever we create bonds, and whenever we are in each other's corner, when we learn and invest our time with each other, we are so much more powerful than if we stand alone. Brother Fancher pointed that out. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible as of the last few years is James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another for healing, for the effectual prayer of a righteous man can do many things." It's a powerful verse to me. And I'll be honest with you, the reason that it's become such an important verse to me over the last few years, and y'all, most of y'all will know somebody named Gabriel Lovat Sutton. He came into our life just a couple of years ago, and when I say our, I mean me and my close friends, and I didn't always confess my sins to others, and he showed me how to do that. He taught me how to have a culture of confession that I didn't have before. And I'm so thankful to have him in my life, because without him, I don't think I would be where I am today. And we need people like that. We need people who are willing to take that extra step and to push you to be better and to push you to be stronger and to study and to pray, to fear the Lord so that we can withstand anything. And he helped me to do that, along with many others. And I'm thankful for that. And I hope and pray that y'all can find somebody like that in your lives, because I can speak from experience with him and with several others of my closest, dearest friends and family. If they weren't in my life today, I don't know where I'd be. I wouldn't be up here. I probably wouldn't be here at all. I wouldn't be as strong in the faith as I am now, because I wouldn't have those bonds, because I lived a life to myself. I thought, I have this problem and I'm going to deal with it. I don't need other people to know what I'm struggling with. I don't need to put my burdens on them. But I was wrong, and I learned that, and I changed that, and it's done great things for me. And I hope and pray that y'all can do the same, that you can find your Gabriel in your life. That's all I have this afternoon, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity. I just want to implore everybody, stand fast in the truth, stand fast together, and build bonds with each other, so that you can be strong and so that you can make it to heaven together.